Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Dalid. We left off on daf Gimel Amud Beis. We are about 7 lines from the end of the page. Taima Dukas Rachmana Aleha, I think, is where we are up to. Or maybe not. No, Ashara Shamanu Onish Minayin. I think that's where we left off. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Seymour Gertz, in memory of his mother, Margalit Pass from Shilam Aleha Shalom. His yard site was yesterday. Also by David Friedman, Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Deborah Greenfield Friedman, Devorah Bas Yehuda Heschel, and Rachel on her 22nd yard site. Nesham Shav and Aliyah, we thank both all three sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Gemara is going to discuss today the sugya of Asei Doche Los Asei. And once we're talking about the source, where we know Asei Doche Los Asei, it's going to lead us into a discussion of being Doresh Smuchim. Do we distinguish between Mishneh Torah, Sefer Tvarim, and the rest of the Chumash when it comes to darshaning things based on their proximity to each other? The Gemara is going to talk about, since the source of Asei Doche Los Asei is very likely about Klayim B'Tzitzis, that you're allowed to wear tzitzis that have shatness in them. So the Gemara is going to talk about that notion of Tzemer U'Pishtim with shatness and with tzitzis and how I know or whether it's true that whenever the Torah uses the word Beged, it necessarily means Tzemer U'Pishtim. So the Gemara is going to go through those limudim Be'ezras Hashem on Amud Beis. So let's begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where we left off, and I think we're up to Asara Shamanu Onesh Minayin. So the Gemara says, so we have just shown that Asara, that there's a los asay for an erva and for a tzara, that the man is not allowed to do yibum on not only his erva, also not on her tzara. So, but Onesh, how do I know that there's a chi of kares on the eshesach who's miyabim the erva or the tzara? So Onesh Minayin, where do I learn such an iser kares? And so the Gemara, Amakra, ki kol asher ya'aseh mikol ha-toevos. The pasuk says in the parsha of Arayos that anyone who does any of these toevos eilu v'nichsra nefashos osos mikerev amam. So the Torah includes in the chi of kares all of the Arayos that we mentioned in the parsha, and included in the Arayos are an erva and her tzara, because they're also included based on the limudim that we had from Aleha and from Litzrar. So since they're alluded to in the parsha, and at the end of the parsha it says Yechayv Kares for all of these things include these relationships as well. So now the Gemara says, well, Taimed Dekas Rachmana Aleha, sounds like the reason Arayos, you can't do Yibam on Arayos, is because the Torah says by the Isser of Achos Isha, the Torah says Aleha. So we learn Gzeira Shava that the Aleha that it says by Achos Isha is even b'makum yibum, that even if your wife's sister is subject to yibum, that the yisur would still apply. Halavachi, but had I not had such a gzeira shava, hava minachos isha miyabma. The implication is that absent any limud, I would have naturally assumed that you could do yibum on achos isha. Well, my taima, why would I have naturally assumed that you would do yibum on achos isha even without aleha? Damrinan asiasei v'dachilosasei, must be because the assumption would have been that let the mitzvah of Yibum come and be doche the losasei of the Arayos. So that's why the Hava Amina would have been that you do Yibum even on Arayos, because you have a mitzvah sasei of Yibum, there's a losasei of Arayos, so the halacha is in Kalatora Kula that asei is always doche the losasei. The kasha the Rishonim deal with is, yeah, that's a good Hava Amina klape the man. The man has a mitzvah of Yibum, so his asei is going to be doche the losasei. Klape the woman, it's arayos for her also. Whenever you have an isra of arayos, it's us around both parties. It's us around the man and the woman. It's a shayla by nida, whether that's true as well. But Pashto says yes, that it's an isra on both parties, the man and the woman. But the mitzvah of yibum is the man's mitzvah. The mitzvah of yibum is not the woman's mitzvah. So the Rishonim struggle with what this hava mina is. But says Gemara that there is such hava that I would have naturally assumed that without a drasha that you could do yibum even on arayos, because asei doche lo sasei. So says Gemara, when Eimer Damrin asei doche asiasei v'dochi lo sasei v'lo sasei greida. But why is that a havamina? I would only know that that's true by a regular lo sasei. V'lo sasei sheish makaris midochi. Do we ever have a principle that an asei is even going to be doche a lo sasei sheish makaris? The fact that asei is doche a run-of-the-mill kind of lav, okay, that we have a principle in Kol HaTorah Kula that that's true. But why would I have assumed that Yibum would be Docha, the Yisra of Arayus. The Yisra of Arayus is a much more severe kind of Los Asay. It's a Los Asay Sheyesh Bakares. Tosus raises the question that from the Etzem Mitzvah of Yibum, we can be Mochiach, that an Asay is Docha, even a Los Asay Sheyesh Bakares. Because every time you're doing Yibum, it's a los asay sheish bakares, meaning your brother's wife is also one of the arayos. And the very fact that there exists a mitzvah of yibum on your brother's wife shows you that the mitzvah of yibum is going to be docha what would otherwise be an isur kares. So why does the Gemara find it so hard to imagine that we would have assumed that an asay is docha los asay sheish bakares? So Tosfos says, no, by yibum, that's the whole mitzvah, meaning there's no way to do the mitzvah absent a los asay sheish bakares. So that can't be a proper model to learn in Kala Torah Kula that an Asay is Docha Lo Se Sheish Bakares. So again, the Gemara is back to its question that we had a drasha to tell me that you're not allowed to do Yibum on Arayos. So Gemara says, I don't need a drasha to tell me you're not. The implication is, without a drasha, I would have known. I would not have known that you're not allowed. I would have thought you do Yibum on Arayos because of Asay Docha Lo Se Asay. Says the Gemara, I don't know. I would not have known that. I would not have known that Asay is Docha. I would not have thought that Asay is Docha. I wouldn't have thought that Asay is going to be Docha even Lo Se Sheish Bakaris. Mimela, I don't really need a drasha to tell me not to do Yibum on Arayos. I would have figured it out on my own. It's Kares. Of course you're not going to do Yibum on an Isser Kares. So the Gemara discusses first the notion, the given that we said that an Asay is Docha Lo Se Asay. Vesu, Lo Se Asay Greda Minolan Tetachi. This very notion that we say that in Kalatarakula, that an asay is docha los asay. How do we know that that's true? Mitzad hasvara, I would not have said that an asay is docha los asay, because when you violate a los asay, you're doing it bekum vaasay. You are actively violating Hashem's Torah, as opposed to when you're mevatel mitzvah asay, you're doing that b'shev v'altaseh. You're simply not doing anything. It's inaction. Action is much worse in terms of a violation than inaction is. The lav is more chamer than the asay. Lav is as malchus also, so it's more chamer than an asay. So it's not intuitive to assume that an asay is going to overpower a los asay. For two reasons, I would assume a los asay would overpower the asay. That the los asay is something that you're chayiv malchus for, and to violate a los asay it requires action. So I would think that that's a much more severe kind of violation. Now, the way we paskin that asay is docha los asay, the Ramban explains, meaning those are two compelling arguments. So the Gemara is going to show, yeah, but we have a limud to tell me that asay is docha los asay. But why? Meaning now that I have two very good arguments, misvara, why I shouldn't say asay docha los asay, because los asays are much more severe. Why taka is asay docha los asay? So that's what the Ramban ala Torah and Shmos Perchav explains, because the kiyum mitzvah asay is b'vchinas ahava, that when a person is serving Hashem with a mitzvah sasei, that's a reflection of his ahavas Hashem, that he's actively going and doing for Hashem. Lo sasei is b'vchinas yira, that when a person is refraining from doing lo sasei, that's a reflection of his yira Hashem. And ahava is gedola mi yira, ahava is greater than yira, and therefore asei is docha lo sasei. That's what the Ramban explains. That's why in the Mikdash there's a principle, ein asei docha lo sasei shebimikdash, because this Mikdash that even though Ahava in general life is a greater form of Avodas Hashem than Yira is, it's a higher level than Yira, in Mikdash there's this particular emphasis on Yira. So since there's a particular emphasis on Yira in the Mikdash, Asay is not going to be Dochalos Asay in the Mikdash. But anyway, the Gemara is asking right now, why would why is there a principle of Asay Dochalos Asay? After all, the Los Asays are much more Chamer, so I would think we shouldn't say Asay Dochalos Asay. So says the Gemara, because the makar for the notion of asay docha lo sase is a pasuk lo silba shatnis. It says you're not allowed to wear shatnis, and the parsha right next to it says, the pasuk right next to it says gedilim tasalcha, that you should put tzitzis on your begadim. So the fact that the Torah juxtaposes those two things, it tells us that you have to put on tzitzis even if the tzitzis themselves are shatnis, meaning you're putting on chutei pishtim on a beged shel tzemer or chutei tzemer on a beged shel pishtim. You're allowed to do that in order to be Kayim your mitzvah of tzitzis. So from that we see that an asay is docha a los asay in Kala Torah Kula. That's the general principle of Asei Docha Los Asei in Kala Torah Kula. So we do wear shatnas and tzitzis on a Doraisa level. Now the Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Tzadi Amud Beis that even though Minat Torah we allow shatnas and tzitzis, and it's a mitzvah to say Minat Torah to put a chut shel tcheles, which is made out of tzemer, in a beged shel pishtan, meaning if you have a linen garment, the only way to get tcheles is on wool. Tcheles won't hold to anything other than wool. So you have an obligation to put wool into your linen garment, but the Gemara is going to say that the Chum made a gzeira not to do that, and the Chum have the koach to be oked of min haTorah b'shevi al tase, and to tell you not to put your woolen tcheles into your linen garment. The Chum were concerned that there used to be a lot of counterfeit tcheles going around. There was Kali Ilan, so if you're going to be putting chutim shel tcheles into a linen garment, it's going to be shatnes shelo b'makom mitzvah, because it's not going to be tcheles necessarily. If it is real tcheles, if it's the genuine article, it's the real thing, then ein achinami, that would be the mitzvah, and that would be permissible. But if it's fake, then you're going to be violating shatnes. So Tosus writes that when a person is misatef betaliso, he's not yet chayiv in tzitzis. The chayiv is only when he's already wearing the talis, and therefore it's not considered, the mais levisha is not considered a bitul mitzvah bekum vaseh. The chum are allowed to tell you that you can be mevatel mitzvah b'shevi al tase. The chum could say, you know what, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, don't blow shofar. When the Sukkot falls on Shabbos, don't take lulav. They can tell you to b'shevi al tase. The chum do not have the right to tell you to be mevatel mitzvah bekum vaseh. So Tosus is bothered. Why on earth are you allowed to put on a talis and not have of pishtim and not have tzitzis on it, not have tcheles on it? That's a violation. Bekum vaseh. So Tosus says, no, it's not, because the chiyuv is not when you're putting on the beged. It's only once you're already wearing the beged. Now you have a chiyuv. Well, once you're already wearing the beged, it's not bekum vaseh anymore. It's shevi al tase of not then being matil tzitzis on the beged. So the Shagas Aryeh raises the question in Siman Lamed. He says, based on what Tosus says, that the Yisur of Klayim is in the Maisa Levisha itself, Tosus points out that the Yisur of Shatnis is when you do the Maisa Levisha. The mitzvah of tzitzis is only once you're already wearing it. So it turns out then that it's not be'idna. Now normally we say Aseh Dochalos Aseh is only if the two come simultaneous to each other. If at the very moment that you're fulfilling that you're violating the Los Aseh, you're fulfilling the mitzvah Aseh. But you're not allowed to do an Aveira so that you can then do a mitzvah afterwards. That has another name in Shas. That's called mitzvah ba'aveira. If you do an Aveira in order to enable you to do a mitzvah, that's terrible. You don't even get the mitzvah. Aseh Dochalos Aseh is only if they're simultaneous to each other. So Shagas Aryeh has this very sharp kasha that Tosos later on is going to tell us that the Isra of Shatnes is while you put it on. The mitzvah of Tzitzis is only later once it's already on. But our Gemara says that Aseh Dochalos Aseh is derived from Shatnes and Tzitzis. Aseh Dochalos Aseh should only apply if they happen simultaneous to each other. So the Shagas Aryeh suggests, based on Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that Klayim B'Tzitzis is Hutar Legamri, even Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah. And therefore, it's Hutar even when it's Shalom B'Idna. That there's a special, the limit over here is much broader than a regular Aseh Dochalos Aseh. Even though it's the paradigm for Aseh Dochalos Aseh, it's the source for Aseh Dochalos Aseh, it's a much broader than regular Aseh Dochalos Aseh. The limit over here is that there is no Isra of Shatnes when it comes to tzitzis at all, and therefore there's no requirement of Be'idna. So anyway, the Gemara brings an Asmachta to be able to derive from the fact that these two psukim are juxtaposed to each other, that there's a limit over here than Aseh Dochalos Aseh. Who says just because the psukim are near each other that one is working off the other? So Vamir Blazer, how do I know I'm allowed to darshan the fact that the two psukim are juxtaposed with each other, meaning it's a shenemar, because the pasuk says smuchim la'ad the olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar, a pasuk in Tehillim. So the Chum Darshan, then that means that the smichus of pikudei Hashem, the smichus of the mitzvos of Hashem, one with the other, is made be'emes u'biyosher, meaning it's done with purposefulness. It's done. It's not just an accident of that things landed near each other, and therefore you have a right to darshan that one from the other. So that's what the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to. It seems clear that that pasuk in Tehillim is only an asmachta, that there must have been a tradition that they darshan smuchim, but that's that pasuk is the asmachta. Now there's a difference between a hekish and smuchim. That's what Tosfos points out over here, that a hekish is when you have two things in the same pasuk. Smuchim is you have two things in neighboring psukim, one to the other. So the hekish we darshan for sure in Kol HaTorah Kula. We're about to have a whole discussion whether we darshan smuchim in Kol HaTorah Kula or we only darshan smuchim in the Mishnah Torah in Sefer Devarim. So the Gemara brings another halacha that's also derived from smichus aparshios. V'amar av sheshes amar av lezer mishum av lezer ben azariah. Minayin li yavama shenafel lefnei mukash shchin she'en chos minosa. How do I know that if you have a yavama, her husband dies, her husband was a wonderful man and he was fine and she loved being married to him, but his brother that she now has to face Yibum with is a mukashchin. He suffers from his body being covered in boils, which is something that is apparently a contagious disease. You don't want to get anywhere near a mukashchin. So let's say the brother says, oh, hooray, I've had so much trouble finding a shidduch. Now one landed in my lap because my brother died. I'm more than happy to do Yibum. And she says, no, thank you. So how do I know that Ein Chos Minoso, we don't tell her that, sorry, this is your lot in life and you're stuck with this mukashchin? Shenemar, because the pasuk says Lo Sachsum Shor Bidisho V'Samachlei. Right next to the pasuk of Lo Sachsum Shor Bidisho, it says Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, and it tells us the parsha of Yibum. So the smichus aparshios is there to teach me that even though the yavam normally has the right to be miyabe minisha bal karcha, but we're not going to be chos minas pia isha. We don't force her to go through with Yibum of mukashchin. We force him to do chalitza on her. So these two, it's interesting, the Rishonim point out, so we have two examples of smuchin. We have shatnas and tzitzis, and we have the yavama and the mukashchin. Someone sent me an email yesterday. You talk about all these cases of a guy dying and a man being ma'anes, anusas aviv, and all these. Like, these are terribly sad cases. How do you not stop to cry in the middle? Because we have 40 minutes. We got to say a daf in 40 minutes, okay? We're not going to stop to cry every single time. We understand that there are a lot of very, very sad and unfortunate things that we're describing, but we're describing them in the theoretical realm, not that if we talk about people that this happened to, of course we would sit and we would cry with them. But there's the whole Masechta is very, very sad. The whole idea, I mean, the Pikudei Hashem Yishar Masam Kelev, learning it is Masameachas, but the cases that we're describing are obviously very sad. But anyway, Tosfos points out that these two drushos of smuchim, one about shatnas and tzitzis, and the other about the not forcing the woman to do yibum, are actually working in opposite directions. By klayim and tzitzis, we darshan that the first parsha, which is the parsha of shatnas, is not going to be noheg b'makom the second parsha b'makom that there's tzitzis. Don't worry about shatnas. Parsha number one, when you have parsha number two, when you have tzitzis. And therefore, you're allowed to wear shatnas in your tzitzis. Whereas by the chasima, by the yibum, we darshan the opposite. That the first parsha, which is the isra of chasima, is so strong that it's noeg even in the parsha shnia. That it's noeg even in a situation of yavam. So Tosfos raises the question, how do I know you can make such a drasha? Maybe it goes in the other direction. Maybe even by klayim b'tzitzis, we should learn from the smichos that even b'makom mitzvah tzitzis, there's still a mitzvah of shatnas. How do I know that, which way, which direction you're supposed to darshan it? So Tosfos suggests that the smichus is always to be motzi miyad hasvara pshuta. Whatever you would have thought without the smichus is coming to upend that. It's coming to tell me not that way. So by klayim b'tzitzis, the Torah is telling me to be mimayit the first parsha, and tell me, don't worry about klayim when you have tzitzis, because it can't be that the Torah is trying to aser shatnas even when you have tzitzis. It's because I don't need smuchin for that. Misvara, I would know that, because a los hasei is more chamer than an asei. So misvara, I would assume, don't violate a isurim in order to do your mitzvos. Whereas by the chasima of the yavama, the Torah is teaching us that the first parsha is noeg even b'makom the second parsha, because min asvara pshuta, we would not have been mechayiv him to be chalitzer bal korcho. We would have thought not to force a guy to do chalitza against his will. That we're not going to ask him to do chalitza against his will. will. That's Rashi and Tosafot say, that we force him to do chalitza over here. In the Tshuvas Maran ben Baruch, he says, aside from the fact that we force him not to be ma'agin her, he can't leave her in aguna, she may want to get remarried. So that's why we force him to do chalitza. But there's another reason. We're kofen ala mitzvos. This mitzvah of chalitza is no worse than any other mitzvah in the Torah, that you're kofa a person in order to do a mitzvah. So that's what the Achronim discussed. Let's say you have a situation where both parties say, you know, he's 95 years old and she's 95 years old, and you know, the brother lived a long life. Sadly, he died without any children, but he lived a long life. Maybe they adopted children and they raised a family and they have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, whatever, let's make it a happier situation, right? And then he died, and they say, not only are we not getting married to each other, we're not getting remarried now. We're 95 years old. We have no interest in getting remarried. Do you still do chalitza? Chalitza is not so easy for a 90-year-old to do. You got to bend down. It's not so pashut. So you still got to do chalitza in such a case. So the Achronim say, from that Maran ben Chabib, he says that, why are we kofen also lachlos against his will? Because kofen ala mitzvos. Sounds like there's a mitzvah's chalitza. The chalitza is not just a heter, but chalitza is a mitzvah. So that itself is a major discussion in the Achronim, whether that's true, that chalitza is a mitzvah as opposed to just being a heter. So now the Gemara discusses the idea of the smuchin by tzitzis. V'amar Rav Yosef, afilu man de lo darsh smuchin bialma. Even if in general you don't like darshaning smuchin, but Mishnah Torah darish, you would still hold that at least in Sefer Devarim you can darshan smuchin. Tahar Rabbi Yehuda bialma lo darish, because let's put a name to it. Who's the one that doesn't darshan smuchin in general? It's Rabbi Yehuda. And yet, b'Mishnah Torah darish, we find that Rabbi Yehuda is going to darshan smuchin in Sefer Devarim. Ubialma minalan de lo darish. How do I know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin throughout the rest of Chumash? Titania ben Azi Omer Nemar Machashefa lo sechaya. The pasuk in Sefer Shemos says that a Machashefa cannot be allowed to live, and it doesn't say how to kill her. V'nemar, but then it says in the next pasuk, Kol Shochevim Behema, that someone who commits bestiality, Mos Yumas. So Smacha when you know. We assume that you learn from the Smichus Psukim which misa to give to the mechashefa, namely the same misa you give to someone who commits bestiality. Mashochiv in behema beskila. So just like someone who commits bestiality is chayiv skila, because that's the halacha you find by an isha hanirva'as lebehema, that the misa is beskila. So there's no reason to be mechalik between a woman who commits bestiality versus a man who commits bestiality. So they're both going to be chayiv skila. So af mechashefa beskila. So mele mechashefa is also going to be chayiv skila. So Amalo Rabbi Yehuda v'mipnei shesmachu inyan lo notzi zel l'skilas. Rabbi Yehuda challenges that. He says, smichus? You're going to give someone skila based on a smichus in Sefer Shemos? Ella, he says, it's not, the limud is not from smichus. He says, I agree to the halacha that a mechashef is chayev skila, but it's not because of a smichus. We can't darshan a smichus in Sefer Shemos. He says, where do we learn that the mechashef gets skila? Ovi yadoni b'chlal mechashefim hayu. That Ovi and Yadoni are types of kishuv. And had they, even had they not been written mefurish in the Torah, they would have been chayev misa, because it says, mechashef alo sechaya, and Ovi Yadoni are forms of kishuv. V'lama yatsu, so why does the Torah have to write them separately? The pasuk says in Vayikra Berachav, V'ish o isha ki yevem ov o yedoni mos yumasu be'evin yirgumo sam demeyem bam, that they're chayiv skila lahakish lehem, it's to make a hakish of all machshefim lomelcha ma ov yedoni beskila, just like ov yedoni, which are examples of kishuv, are chayiv skila saaf machshefa beskila, so to machshefa the chiyuv is skila. That's how we know machshefa is beskila, not from the smicha. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda rejects learning from smichus. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is the one, unlike Ben Azai, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who rejects the concept of learning from smichus in Kol HaTorah Kula. So yet, the Gemara is about to say, but when it comes to Sefer Devarim, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to be willing to learn from smichus. Tosfos raises the question, how do I know that he doesn't darshan smuchim with Kol HaTorah? Maybe it's Dafka over here that he doesn't darshan smuchim, because the Gzeir Shava that Rabbi Yossi darshans the Sanhedrin to be Mechayiv Mechashefa B'Sayif, so therefore because it says mechashefa lo sechaya, and it says by the Shiva Amimim lo sechaya kol neshama, so there's a limud to have suggested sayif, and that's why he's not going to darshan smuchim to overpower a gzereshava. But maybe when there's no other limud, when there's no competing limud, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would darshan smuchim. So Tosa says from the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda, v'chim epnesha samchu inyan lo no tzizel l'skila. That makes it sound like he's incredulous because of smichos. He doesn't say how can you be mechayev skila based on the smichos. There's another drasha to tell me not that way. He says v'chim epnesha samchu lo. What does smichos do for you? So that's how we know that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the concept of darshaning smuchim in kol haTorah kula. But a Mishnah Torah minolan did darish. How do I know he does darshan smuchim Mishnah Torah? Because the Tana nosi adam anusa saviv umafuta saviv. A person can marry his father's anusa, a woman that his father had raped, or a woman that his father was mefata. Mefata just means that they had a relationship without getting married, because that they never had kiddushin. So even though the Torah says you're not allowed to be with your father's aisha saviv, your father's wife, pasuk says ervas aisha savicha lo segale. But those are anusa saviv mufuta saviv muteres, because aishas is the lashon of ishus, and there's no ishus without kiddushin. So these women that the father was with that are not that were not bekiddushin, they are not included in aishas avicha. So and a person can marry not only anusas aviv mufutas aviv, but anusas bino mufutas bino. That if they never got married to the son, even though they had a relationship with the son, pasuk says ervas kalascha lo segala. She's only kalascha if there was a kiddushin. Rabbi Yehuda oser ba anusas aviv mufutas aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says no, one is not allowed to be with anusa saviv and mufuta saviv. V'amrav gidol amrav. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get this iser from? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says lo yikachas eisha saviv lo yigale knaf aviv. So knaf shara aviv lo yigale. It's from the extra phrase lo yigale knaf aviv. That any time the father had a physical relationship with this woman, even though there's no ishus, it's still included in the iser. Uminai d'banusa ksiv. How do I know that knaf aviv means that she was an anusa? So the Gemara explains me ilave dekra from the fact that it says in the pasuk previous the chsiv, because the pasuk says v'nasan isha shochevi malavia nara chamishim kesef v'samach leilu yikachish and lo yigal knaf aviv. So right after it talks about the parsha of anusa, it talks about not being megala knaf aviv. So we see that the issue of being megala knaf aviv is even by an anusa aviv. So that's Rabbi Yehuda darshaning smuchim. He's darshaning the juxtaposition of the pasukim. It talks about anusa, then it talks about knaf aviv. So that's how I know that the knaf aviv must be anusas aviv. V'rabbanan, the rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that you are allowed to marry anusas aviv. Why don't they darshan that smuchim that Rabbi Yehuda darshins? So you have a samach leik the kamrit. They say, well, if they were actually juxtaposed one right next to the other, we would agree. But hasha delo samach leik. But because they're not one right next to the other, so it must be talking about something else. The girsa, according to some, is d'chsiv lo yikach eshesh aviv ben time. That there's another phrase in between, and therefore there's not a smichus. So b'shomeres yavim makas medaber. So lo yigal knaf aviv must be referring to a shomeres yavim. Yavim meaning it's your aunt, it's your father's brother's wife. After the father's brother dies without any children, so now she's waiting for your father to do yibum. So in that situation, when she's waiting for your father to do yibum, so there's going to be a lo saseh that you're not allowed to be with that woman. Now wait a second. There's a lo saseh that nobody's allowed to be with that woman. She's waiting for yibum. Shomeres yavim is a lo saseh in the Torah that she's lo tzia eishes hameis achutza li ish zar. So there's always a lo saseh. Says more, yeah, v'lavar lav b'shnei lavin. If the son of the yavim is the one that sleeps with her, so it's going to be a violation of shnei lavin. It's going to be a violation of two separate lavin. Ubimishna Torah, my time of darish. Why is it Rabbi Yehuda, who rejects the notion of darshaning smuchim and kol haTorah kula, all of a sudden in Sefer Dvarim he's happy to darshan smuchim? So says there are two possible reasons. Either because it's the fact that it doesn't say the parsha where it belongs and it puts it in a weird place, so that's an indication to us that we're supposed to darshan smuchim, or because it's just extra, we don't need the parsha at all, and that's why it's an indication to darshan smuchim. Which is interesting. None of those things seem fundamental to Mishnah Torah. Meaning, if you're going to tell me every drasha of smuchim is because it's just an extra pasuk or because it's a misplaced pasuk, those things don't seem to be about Mishnah Torah. So Tosfos says, yeah, in a chinami. It's just that every other time you would want to darshan smuchim in the rest of Torah, it's not out of place. So there's no makom to darshan smuchim. But in Mishnah Torah, it's always out of place for some reason. So it's just a coincidence that in Mishnah Torah we have all these smuchim to darshan because it meets these criteria of being mochach or mufni. The Ramban and the Ritva say a little bit different. They say Mishnah Torah since it's written al aseder, you could say mochach, that there's an inyan of hakdama v'ichur of the parshios. But by the rest of Torah, it's all considered like one big parsha, and you can't learn from mukta mu'ucha from the fact that one is earlier or later. But even according to the Ritva, mufna, there should be no chiluk between Mishnah Torah and the rest of Kala Torah Kula. If it's extra, it's extra. But apparently, there are a lot of extras in Mishnah Torah. There aren't any extras anywhere else in Kala Torah Kula. So that's the drama. So, Ibai say Mishum to Mochach. What does he mean then, Mochach? Dim Kain, if the Pasuk would not have said, Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv, Lichtave Rachmana Gabe Arayos, the Torah, meaning if the Torah would not have said it, where it is, where it really belongs, is by the Arayos in Parshas Achremos. So, the fact that it's here, it must be that it's trying to teach me to Darshan Smuchim. Ibai say Mishum to Mufni, and what does it mean that it's Mufni, that it doesn't belong at all, that you don't even need the Pasuk? Dim Kain, because if the Pasuk would not have said, Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv to darshan the smuchim over here, so lichtav rachmana liyikach ishes eishes aviv lo yigal knaf aviv lamali. He could have just said not to marry eishes aviv. Why does he have to say lo yigal knaf aviv? Shema minel afnuye must be to darshan the smuchim to tell me that even anusas aviv, not only eishes aviv, but even anusas aviv is included. So now the Gemara explains, and how does Muchach and Mufni work out when it comes to Klayim and Tzitzis? That was also a drash of Smichus. V'gabe Tzitzis Nami, Iba Yisei Mishum to Mochach, V'iba Yisei Mishum to Mufna. You can have both Svaras, both ideas work by Tzitzis as well. Iba Yisei Mishum to Mochach, we could darshan Smuchin from the fact that of the placement of the Parsha of Tzitzis right near Shatnes, because it doesn't belong there, the Imkain, because you know where it should have said, Gedilim Tasalucha? It should have said it at the end of Parsha Shalach, where we have the third Parsha of Kriya Shema. That's the Parsha of Tzitzis. That's where it should have said Gedilim Tasalucha. That's where it should have said that you're supposed to put on Tzitzis. Why does it appear all of a sudden in Sefer Devarim? Must be to teach me the smichus that asay is dochalos asay v'ibay say mishum demufna. Or you could argue that the din of Shatnes is totally extra over here. It doesn't. I don't even need Sefer Dvarim to tell me about Shatnes. Michti Kosav, it already says in Parshas Kedoshim, Ubeged Klayim Shatnes Lo Yalo Alecha. So Lo Silba Shatnes Lo Amali, why do I need Sefer Dvarim to tell me Lo Silba Shatnes? Shema Minala Afnuye. Oh, must be that it's coming to tell me that I could darshan this smuchim to tell me the Asay Dochalos Asay when it comes to Shatnes and Tzitzis. So says the Gemara, wait a second, Hani, these two Parshias of Shatnes, it's not extra. Mitzvah Tzrichi, I need both Parshios of Shatnes. You know, it says back in Parshas Kedoshim that Beged Klayim Shatnes Lo Yala Alecha. In Sefer Devarim it doesn't say Lo Yala Alecha. It says Lo Tilbash Shatnes. Both of those psukim are absolutely necessary, says the Gemara. Dikos rachmana lo yala alecha. If it only would have said what it says in Parshas Kedoshim, have a mina kol derech halah as rachmana filu machriksos. I would have thought anyone who ever places shatnes on his body is going to be in violation of shatnes, even if he's machriksos, even if he's just carrying clothing around to sell. So he has some linen clothing and some woolen clothing on his back that he's carrying around to sell, but he's not getting any hana'as levisha. Adrabah, he's being mitzdayer from the Levisha. That's how the Rov Rishonim learned that he's the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban, that he's being mitzdayer from the Levisha. So I would think that that's an Isra of Shatnes as well, and that's why it calls Rachmana Lo Silba Shatnes. That's why the Torah says Lo Silba Shatnes. That Dumya the Levisha, it says Lo Silbash. That no, the Isra is not every time you put Shatnes on your body. It's only when you do it in a way that's like Levisha, the Ispe Hana'a. When you wear clothing, get Hana'a from the clothing. So you only chayv for shatnes when you get hana'a from the clothing. It's interesting, Rashi doesn't make the point about mitzta'ir, that it's causing you tzar. Rashi says you're just not doing it for hana'a. You're doing it to sell the clothing, but you're not doing it for hana'a. It's a big nafkamina. What if you put on shatnes, but not for hana'a slavisha, but it's also not causing you any great tzar? So is that an isra of shatnes? Just got the shayla yesterday. Someone told me that a person had a guy got a pallet of high-end suits or something that I guess, I don't know what happened to it in the supply chain and got lost somewhere. And now he's got these high-end suits to get rid of. But he said, I'm going to sell them for very cheap because they're all shatnes. So, but the guy doesn't want to buy it without trying it on first. So is he allowed to try on the shatnes suit, make sure it fits, and then he'll get the shatnes taken down for $50 or whatever. whatever. He'll have the shatnas, or the person told him, you can get shatnas removed for $50. I'm a little suspicious. I bet it's going to cost a little more. But still, he said it's a $1,000 suit for $100. He'll buy it for $100, spend $50 getting the shatnas. But can he try it on? Are you allowed to try it on? So Pashas, if you know it's shatnas, how can you put it on your body? So this may be totally in this issue. He's not getting any hana'as levisha from it, because he's not like wearing it to wear it, but he's also not, it's not causing him any tsar. So that would fall in between these, in general, when you buy suits, we poskim are makel that you're allowed to try it on if you don't know if it has shatnas or not. But over here, it's like there's a good chance that it has shatnas, probably a lot worse. Anyway, so, if it only would have said the silver shatnas, I would say only levisha where you're getting a lot of hana'a, but just putting the clothing on you, where you're not getting as much hana'a as levisha, as wrapping yourself in the clothing, so lo, I would think that the Torah does not ask for that. That's why the pasuk says lo yala alecha, that if you get hana'a from the ha'ala'a, that's also going to be asur. So therefore, this is not an extra pasuk. I need these psukim. Since the Gemara, the entire parsha of shatnas is not extra, but there's still something in it that's extra. Because im kain, if the parsha that is by tzitz is only coming to tell me that halah is asr when it's a ke'ein levisha, when you're getting some sort of hana'a, lichtav rachmanu lo sil b'shatnas, let the pasuk say lo sil b'shatnas, and I would learn that only a halah that's doma levisha is asr, but then semru pishtim lamli. Why does it have to add semru pishtim? I know what shatnas is already. Michti, kasav ubegir klayim shatnas lo yala lecha. We already says beggar klayim shatnas lo yala lecha. V'tanu de Rabbi Shmuel hol v'nemru b'torah stam begadim upir lecha kasav bekam and semru pishtim af kol semru pishtim. That since it says in the Torah, whenever it says in the Torah stam begadim, since in one place the Torah identifies a beggar as being semru pishtim, every time the Torah says beggar, I know it means semru pishtim. So semru pishtim tachas rachmana lamali. Why does it have to say losil b'shatnas and then identify again semru pishtim? Ah, shmami no lafmiya. That's the extra word in the pasuk, and that's where we're darshan the smuchim from the fact that it's an extra word. So freklimar vakati yisrich. I still need the pasuk. I need that, those words in the pasuk as well. Because salkadai dechamina halai he delo nafsh hana'asa. I would think that halah doesn't give you too much hana'a. So that's only when you have semru pishtim mixed together. Avalavisha de nafsh hana'asa kol trei min yasa rachmana. I might think that maybe when you're only being ma'ala, you're only putting it over you, that's where semru pishtim is the iser. But when you're being lovesh, maybe every two minim that are mixed together is going to be the iser. So kasrachmana semru pishtim, that's why I need the Torah to tell me, no, the iser is always just semru pishtim. Im kain says more, but if that were the lim lishto kra minei v'teisi shatnes shatnes me'ala'a, the pasuk didn't have to say it, I would have derived shatnes shatnes from ha'ala'a, because it says by the levisha l'sil b'shatnes, and it says ubeg klaim shatnes lo yala olecha, so just like the shatnes by ha'ala'a is only semru pishtim, so too the shatnes by levisha is only semru pishtim, and therefore it is in fact extra, and that's why I have a lot of darsh in the smuchim. Now the Gemara asks that according to the Tanna Beis Rav Shmuel, we can learn the heter of klaim betzitzis even without smuchim. So the Tanna Beis Rav Shmuel, time in the kasher rachmana semru pishtim. It sounds like the only reason that we allow klayim betzitzis is because the pasuk says semru pishtim, and that's extra, and because it's extra, we kadash in the smuchim halavachi. But without that yisur, without those extra words semru pishtim, then it's I would not have dash in the smuchim klayim betzitzis havamina da asarachmana, and I would have thought that you're not allowed to wear shatnas in your tzitzis vaksiv. But doesn't it say in parshas tzitzis vasulam tzitzis al kanfei bigdayim v'tanu de Rav Shmuel, and the tanu de Rav Shmuel darshins kol begadim semru pishtim heim. Every time it says beged, it always means semru pishtim, and va'am rachmana avad le'tcheles. And the Torah tells you, when you wear a beged, which means pishtim, you should put on tcheles. U'tcheles amruhu. And tcheles is always wool. So why do I need a smichus and a drasha? It's beferish in the Torah. It says that you put tzitzis on a beged. Beged means semru pishtim. Tzitzis means wool. U'mimai tcheles amruhu. How do I know tcheles means wool? Mi d'sheish kisna tcheles. Shelis Amruhu, from the fact that it says a big day Shesh Mashzar, that's Pishtim, that's so it must be that the Tchelis, the other big day Kuna of Tchelis Vargaman V'Tala Shani V'Shesh, that must be Amr, that must be wool. If Shesh is Pishtan, then the colorful the Begadim must all be wool. So Isrich. Now I need both Rashas. Salkadai Chamina Kidarava. I might have thought to make Rava's Diuk. The Rava Rami Rava asks Stira Ksiv Knaf Min Knaf Uksiv Tzemeru Pishtim Haketz. It says on the one hand that the beged should match the same material as the strings that are put on the beged, and yet the Torah also says Tzemeru Pishtim. So it sounds that only the strings of tzitzit should only be from Tzemeru Pishtim, not from whatever the beged's made out of. It. If it's a cotton beged, cotton strings, and if it's a rayon beged, I don't know if that counts as a beged, then a rayon string, right? It sounds like whatever the beged is. So Haketz, and how do we reconcile those two drushos? Tzemeru Pishtim Potrim Bein B'minam Bein Shlo B'minam. If you have wool or linen strings, that works no matter what the beged is made out of. But Sharminim, if you have other strings, B'minam Potrim. If you have cotton strings, that's only going to work on a cotton beged. Shlo B'minam Bein Potrim, but it's not going to work on any other beged. So based on the diuk of Rava, I would have said that the Torah does not allow to put a tzemer that's savua tcheles unless the beged is also a min semer. But when the beged is pishtim, you should put tzitzis of pishtim and you should not put semer because klein betzitzis is aser. That's why the Torah says by shatnis tzemer pishtim to tell me through the smuchim that you're allowed to do shatnis when it comes to tzitzis. Okay, so Bez Hashem will pick up from Vahatan de Rabbi Shmuel, Leslie de Rava tomorrow.